Hi, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church. I'm so glad you could join us, whether you're in the building or watching online this morning or later during the week. Thank you for sharing this opportunity with us this morning. I would also encourage you over the coming weeks to share any thoughts or reflections during the week. We have a weekly podcast that Claire and I are doing. That'll be going live this Tuesday rather than Monday, as we've got bank holiday this week. Just a chance, if you do have any thoughts, certainly from this morning, just to send us an email, drop a line, either via me or via Maxine in the office. We'd love just to gather our thoughts and reflections after our service. On Pentecost Sunday, which is the 23rd of May, Sunday afternoon, we're having a garden party. That's happening behind the coffee shop, or kind of in the coffee shop and behind, a chance for us to gather in groups of 30 over the afternoon. So we'll have a couple of sessions. And please do book in for that. It's not a, well, if I come along, I'm taking someone else's space. Please don't think like that. We'd love for you to come along. A chance, as the rules have relaxed, for us to gather outside safely. And if we have more people than we're allowed, we'll just keep reproducing the 30. So we'll have an hour slots that we'll do. So please do consider booking in for that. We'd love to have this opportunity to gather with you. We're going to have a barbecue and cakes and just a chance to socialise and be with each other outside. If you're a church member, there's an opportunity for you to nominate a mission organisation. The link is in the link. I hate it when I say that, but there is a link in the link. If you'd like a paper version of the form, please do contact Maxine. It's just an opportunity for you to nominate an organisation and just explain a little bit about that organisation that will go forward to the next church meeting, which is at the end of May. Don't forget the food box. Food bank is still there, and please do drop stuff off. Thank you for Denise and Ian, who faithfully come and collect and take to Sawston. Thank you for all those people who've dropped off over the last few months. Our baby group and youth group are meeting in the building. The baby group meets on a Wednesday, and our youth group meets at 11:30 this morning with Tilly in the upper room. Well, I'm going to hand over to Sarah and the team as they open our time of worship. Thank you, Sarah.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship together.
By the Savior's word.
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you again today, and I hope that you've had a week full of blessings. What have you been up to this week, Clive? Have you done anything exciting? You've done something interesting. What have you been doing? You've been learning a new skill. I wonder what that is. You've been learning to read people's minds? Oh. You're getting quite good at it. Are you indeed? Can you try it out on me? Don't know about that. Okay. You'll have to put on your special mind-reading glasses. Are these them? They look just like ordinary decorated sunglasses to me. They're very valuable. Be careful. They help you to see right inside my mind. Okay, put them on then. You can tell just what I'm thinking, can you? And quite a few of them too. All right, what are we thinking? We're thinking these are just ordinary sunglasses and that you won't be able to read our minds. Well, that is just what I was thinking. Were you thinking that? See, they do work. Do I want to try? Can I? Okay, I'm going to have a go. Put them on. Look at you and concentrate very hard. Okay. Are you thinking about food? Are you thinking about cake? They do work. Yes, don't think that was very difficult. With these glasses and your amazing skills, we can be of one mind, just like the early believers. Did they have special glasses? No, the believers were of one mind because they shared the mind of Christ. You don't understand. Well, it's as if each one of them was connected to Jesus in such a powerful way by the Holy Spirit that they knew exactly what he wanted them to do. And because each one of them was connected to Jesus, so they were connected to each other in him. And it's the same today. As followers of Jesus, we are connected to him and filled with his love. So we can then share that love with others. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. So together we are of one mind as we share his love. That's right. And when we say that we have the same mind, it means that we are in agreement, that we agree, just as the early believers did, that Jesus wants us to share his love with everyone we meet. How do we do that? By loving them and caring for them, just as we would want to be loved and cared for ourselves. That sounds a good plan. Yes, Jesus has the best plans. It's just that sometimes we're not so good at sticking to the plan. You think cake helps you stick to the plan. I think cake helps you do lots of things. But I hope that this week you will experience more of Jesus' love for you and be united in sharing his love with those around you. But now it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive. Until next time, be blessed.
I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, verses 12, which is Matthias being chosen to replace Judas, and then into the first verse of chapter 2. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. From one of these must become a witness with us for his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place.
Claire will introduce our theme for this week, How Now Should We Live?
This has been a traumatic year. It has been more than a year of difficulty, uncertainty, illness, confusion, loss, death, grief, depression, anxiety, isolation, and suffering on a global scale. 2 years ago, we wouldn't have even imagined what we were heading towards, and yet here we are. Many wish we could go back and pick up where we left off. But suffering makes for a mysterious landscape, and once travelled, you can't go back. As someone who has suffered with severe depression my whole adult life, it's a terrain I'm familiar with. And while I would give a limb to never endure it again, I know that there is meaning in these difficult journeys, and that neither Martin and I would be the people we are if it wasn't for them. We have all suffered to a greater or lesser extent through our lives and through this difficult time, but so has Jesus. He trekked the mysterious landscape that is life with all its suffering, doubt, isolation, and despair. He did it to be with us, to give us hope, to join us on our journey, and be our guide, our light. Jesus continued to bear the scars of his suffering even after his resurrection. We cannot hide our own scars, but with his help, and the help of each other, we must integrate that pain into who we are rather than rejecting it or hiding it, moving forward, not back, acknowledging that it is not only us who have suffered. The whole world is grieving, anxious, isolated, and lost. Most of us would not choose the road of suffering, and as such would not choose to be where we are now. But here we are. And so the question we are going to be thinking about over the coming weeks, based on one of the guiding questions of the Northumbria community, is how now should we live? We may have all faced the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. And what we want, need, and hope for will be different. As we move forward, what new journey is Jesus calling us on to follow him? Let us together be asking this question. Jesus, how now should we live?
Well, thank you, Claire, for introducing this theme, and thank you, Liz, for reading our Bible passage. There are times in our world history when the rule book or the playbook has to be rewritten, when the old ways don't seem to make sense and a new way has to be forged. The disciples were in that position. Minus Judas, they found themselves outside of the political will of the Roman Empire, outside of the Jewish tradition, and on course to fall away after their guide in this strange land was hung from a tree. Those around, inside and outside the church, were trying to work out what this resurrection story was going to change. How should they live now in this strange world? Just picture that for yourselves. The whole landscape has shifted. The guide in this shifted landscape is no longer with you. The gathered church huddled together and say, what now? The disciples returned to Jerusalem. They entered this familiar place, but everything would seem very different. Those streets, that hill, that Roman guard, those temple steps, that rubbish dump. What was familiar now would seem very confusing and strange. the disciples would have to realign themselves. Those things they did without thinking suddenly become confusing. You might feel very similar when you venture out. You might be left thinking, what are the rules? Where do I stand? What do I wear? Will it be safe? All the questions we've had to answer doing the new normal way of life. The disciples had to take stock and work out a way forward. I want to explore a couple of decisions that they made and why they made them. So firstly, they needed to reorganize themselves. The disciples had to face the reality that Judas became a Judas. One of their inner circle, one of Jesus' disciples, had betrayed everyone and led the authorities right to where Jesus was standing. Judas' fate is recorded in that passage, the field he bought, the fall head first, the explosion of his guts, reminiscent of a good shoot 'em up scene. With Judas's betrayal came the reality that the honesty and the trust that they thought they had was in fact not as solid as they hoped. They had to find a new member of the board. And like any good board member search, it came down to a random act of drawing lots. Anyone else quite surprised at that? This amazing decision came down to a flip of a coin or drawing of lots. I suspect both parties were equally good. The decision would be good either way. So drawing lots was a good answer. Matthias filled Judas's shoes, and all agreed that it was a good decision. It's a great example of unity and resolve to work together. But not all reorganizing is as simple. I was due to preach this last week, but Diana stood in for me. And last week, it was at the height of the discussion of the Super League. I don't know if you remember that. It seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it? The multimillionaires who gathered together, who sat around a table, possibly in Italy, to come up with this plan of the European Super League. However, they seemed to totally misjudge the implications of their plans. I think they would have left that meeting that night really pleased with their plans and really pleased with the unity that they had together. They all agreed that this would be a good plan, that we'll have this European Super League. They probably had started working out how to spend their money. They would have felt united after that time. A few months later, when it became public, the same group of men would give groveling apologies amid an uproar from fans and even our Prime Minister. The unity of the few has to be reflected in the many. The unity of the few has to be reflected in the many, although if it isn't, it's no unity at all. And church is a great example of that. The unity of the few has to be reflected through our whole fellowship. I have personal experience of a leadership team who were forcefully united on an issue only to be taken down a peg or two by the church meeting. That's not here, although I have been taken down a peg or two over the years. Unity cannot be the exclusion of the majority. All those gathered that day felt unity in their decision. As we continue to live with COVID, we need to reorganize ourselves. Maybe there are some that need to step up and fill the shoes in our church. Maybe there are those who have new and creative ideas that can help us move forward in this new landscape. The disciples reorganized themselves so that they could continue the good works they'd already started. Although the landscape was changing around them, they wanted to stay close to God and to each other. As our world is changing around us, we need to be aware of the needs, of what needs to change, what needs to adapt to serve the reality in front of us. There's a famous story of Lewis and Clark. They set off to find a waterway from the east of America all the way through to the west coast of America. They left expecting that what they would need to traverse this terrain would be canoes. They loaded up with canoes. They went along waterways. However, halfway through the journey, they didn't find rivers to go. They found the Rocky Mountains. What was supposed to be a water adventure turned out to be a rock climbing one. I can't imagine climbing a mountain with canoes. They don't help you in that endeavor. They are totally superfluous. They're a waste of energy to lug up a canoe when you're trying to get up a mountain. The tools that worked well on the water would be unusable in the mountains. We might have to relook at the tools and assess, do they fit the purpose? You see, we're called to give a reason for the hope that we have in our communities, in our villages. We're not called to defend the institution or the status quo. There's no room for us to protect our little kingdoms anymore. We're called to live out the gospel in this world. So they needed to reorganize. And secondly, they needed to be together. Pentecost was the birthday of the local church, the hope of the world. It was where it was born, when the promised Spirit would descend on the church and would stay from that day. That day, what was everyone doing on the day of Pentecost? Well, they were all together in one place. When the big stuff happened in the church, everyone was together. Imagine if they weren't. Imagine if they formed little groups, breakaway groups, one met over there, one met over there. What if they held grudges against each other, decided they would just give up trying to love each other? They would have missed Pentecost. They would have missed the unity that the birth of the early church would bring. In these strange days, we will all be feeling different about life and our faith. However, it's important that we agree to walk together, to learn from each other, to share with each other, to care with each other. It's very easy to give up on people, to not care enough to seek understanding or show compassion. With the divergence of thoughts and feelings, it's more vital than ever that we agree to love one another and walk together. The early church didn't have to contend with COVID, didn't need rules on social distancing. I still think it would have survived, even if it had. But it would survive, ultimately, isolation and separation. The church would go underground. What was at this point an amazing gathering of those founders of the early church, all together witnessing the presence of the Holy Spirit, would in the coming days turn into a fearful huddle. Small groups meeting in kitchens and houses, safe places. The early church had to adapt and adapt and adapt, because later on Christianity would become the state religion. The church is not called to stand still, but to always change. And there is a need to be together as a church. We need to plan, we need to think, we need to organize. Then we need to replan, rethink, and reorganize. As the pastor of the church, I've experienced this last year in a certain way. I've been in my little boat, like Claire reflected, in our storm. And we've all been in our little boats as we've adapted to this last year. But it's not only the experience that I have that needs to feed our thoughts and our thinking. If we're not careful, we might just respond to this COVID time how I would respond. And that's not community, is it? We need all of us to speak into how we grow from here, or how now we should live. We should all speak into how we plan and think. We need to reflect on everyone's experience, on everyone's boat. That's why during May and June, as a church, we're endeavoring to listen to each other. We're going to do our best to listen to our community. My hope is that over these 2 months, everyone will have an opportunity to share something of their story, whether that's outside Cara Coffee, whether that's at a garden party, whether that's in someone's house. I want us to listen to one another and share with one another. Our collective experience will help us to seek God's wisdom and the Spirit's guidance. The early church thrived in times of trouble because they stayed together. We will thrive if we stay together. Let's just pray. I'm going to have a little sip of drink. Let's pray. Lord God, how now should we live? I wonder just that image of us in a little boat. I wonder what our boat has looked like in this last year. Has it been a small one where you're the only person in it? Has it been a big one where there seems to be many voices, many people around you? Is it a solid structure? Does it have holes, leaks? Has it floated with a purpose? Or has it felt like randomness? Has there been unity? Is there brokenness, illness? What does our boat look like? And Lord God, as we endeavour to listen to one another, to hear from one another, I pray that you would help us to engage, to share. I pray that those who would not normally speak up might share something. I pray you would help us to assess and make sense of our time during this last year. And as we ask that deep question, how now should we live? I pray your revelation. I pray just like your Spirit came on Pentecost, that your Spirit would come on our church and that we would be revealed, that you would reveal to us something of your wisdom, your guidance, and your strength. We pray a blessing on our fellowship and a blessing on our community and our family and our friends. Amen. Well, Sarah and the team are going to close in our time of worship.
Glory, I will sing.
we haven't had many prayer requests, but I just appreciate people's prayers for Claire's health over the last couple of weeks. We felt supported and loved and encouraged along the way. So thank you for all those who have been praying for us in these days. But let me finish by saying the grace over those present and those online. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen. Well, we look forward to gathering next Sunday, which is communion. So we'll have communion safely in the church. Everyone will get their own individual little bits of bread and wine that we've been prepared for you. And you're welcome, if you're watching online, to have bread and wine for our service. So God bless.